she's real fine, my 409.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Well, I saved my
good morning. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with your hosts, David Blessingame.
Good morning.
Tammy Pickard.
What? It's Saturday already?
It's already Saturday.
Oh, my God.
Waddle.
Good morning.
And me, Sybil. It's Saturday, you guys.
And summer is over.
I know. Isn't this the first weekend of officially fall?
Yeah, and it's going to be 95 today.
Way to bring in the fall. That's what I think of when I think of autumn.
Oh, no leaves are turning today unless they're dry.
Right.
Yeah.
Hot and sunny. And I think it's 95 tomorrow, too.
Yeah. You know, the Plano Balloon Festival is going on this weekend, though. So I thought that was really pretty cool. They had the balloon lift off this morning and there's no wind. So they were all just like hanging up and floating away slowly. Sort of cool.
So where would you drive by to see that?
You know, I have no idea. Somewhere in Plano.
North on 75.
Well, I don't know if it was the tollway side or the 75 side.
The 75 side, because it's over there. It's sponsored by the Viewpoint Bank and that whole group. And I think you park up off of like Jupiter, Spring Creek, all up around there. It's Oak Point Park. I've not been to it, but I have enjoyed northbound 75 when all those balloons are floating over.
Yeah.
I got some good photos one day with my phone.
While you were driving?
No, I was the passenger.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then that's acceptable.
But it was really cool to see all the balloons floating over. And I've never been up that early in the morning to go out. I mean, I've been up that early.
Right.
Right.
But I actually rode in one a few years ago.
I've always wanted to do that. How is it?
It's really cool. They're quiet, other than when they're firing the air up to warm it up, to send it up the hill. One interesting thing about balloons, and if you'll never know this unless you listen to our show, the coil that the gas goes in that the fire comes out of at the top is the pipe is coiled. It's not just a straight pipe.
Interesting.
Make a lot more sense just to make a straight pipe and then have a like a gas burner at the top and it burns. But it can't be because it makes a horrible noise when they do that. So they coil it and you don't hear the horrible noise, but guess who does?
The
dogs
inside. Oh,
dogs can hear it. So when you're in a hot air balloon and you're traveling over a neighborhood, you see these dogs. You'll fire the you know, and you see these dogs bouncing off the fences and barking. Aww. And jumping. They can hear it.
Is it a high pitched sound?
Yeah, it's a very high pitched sound that they can hear, and humans can't. That's why they run the gas through a coil.
Interesting.
Yeah, I thought you'd like that.
Maybe they need to do it differently where dogs can't hear it too.
Hey, we've got listeners. Autoflex Leasing Fantex, 75 in Parker or Spring Creek.
There it is.
Nice. So we are going to be here till 10 o'clock. If you want to give us a call, the number to the studio, 877-881-1053. Autoflex Leasing Fan Text, as David just said, is 43733. And if you want to call Autoflex, today's a good day to go test drive yourself a new car. Woo-hoo. What are those numbers?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234 long distance, or autoflex.com. Maybe the easiest way if you don't want to get out of your comfies this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Or test drive a lovely pre-owned car. We do new car leasing, pre-owned car leasing, sales. We have fabulous cars out there.
Well,
yes.
And here's the other thing. We need cars really badly. We've got a big promotion going on with our customers right now. We've got, I guess, 14 or 15,000 customers.
Not many. Just a few.
We've sent them we've sent them all emails and let them know that if they got their car in 2008 or 2009.
2010 even.
Early 2010. We may be able to trade them out now and put them into a new car for about the same thing they're paying now. So, and we did late yesterday afternoon.
Not if you're driving a Honda and want a Bentley, but...
Well, that's true.
It costs more.
Bentleys do cost more. But anyway, we sent out an email yesterday afternoon and immediately got barraged with people that said, oh, yeah, I'll trade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I bet.
We're pretty happy about that.
Well, I know the Fantex are going to come in. Do you have to have an Autoflex car to do that?
No, actually, if you leased your car anywhere...
Or bought your car. You don't have to just be a lessee. You can be a purchaser as well.
A buyee.
The bottom line is this, and I for everybody that's been listening for years, you've been following along with the crazy market conditions and everything that's happened with not just the economy but the car business, and what's happened with not just the car business but, you know, nature. You know, the earthquake and tsunami that caused all the problems for the Japanese manufacturers, which also affected every other brand, because even the people that made the specific pigment to put in the black paint for Ford trucks.
Right.
Were affected. So
they had to quit building black Ford trucks for a while because they couldn't get the pigment.
Well, they built the trucks, they just painted them a different color.
Not the same color.
There was a little
black
shortage on the black paint for a little while.
I'm thinking you could say they quit building black trucks if they didn't paint any of them black. I'm just thinking. I'm just saying.
You say it that way, I say it this way. Tomato, tomato, whatever. Anyway.
How do you say Suzuki?
Oh.
You know what? This guy.
Zucky.
What a guy.
It's not the car that's the problem.
No, what a guy. Joe Gibson Suzuki had two stores out in the Carolinas, and he and eight dealership employees and a former American Suzuki district manager have all been indicted by a federal grand jury on three counts of conspiracy to commit wire fraud. That's a really ugly thing. And this, the whole thing is sort of crazy because
their advertisements were insane.
Well, and they I don't know why anyone thought it was real, but they advertised that you could come in and get a car for $99 a month and then bring it back in 6 months or 9 months and 12 months and get another brand new car, and your payment would never go up. And they sold it as you can drive a new car for $99 a month forever.
For the rest of your life.
Wow.
Now, first of all,
a new Suzuki, though, you know.
That's not rational. Even for a Suzuki with two wheels, that's
right.
Not rational. It's not. But they
people
had
believe
ads.
What they want to believe, Dave.
Well, they had ads. And so these people would come in to sign contracts, and the contracts would have much higher payments than $99 a month. And they were
Don't
told,
"Don't worry about it.
Suzuki's going to pay the difference.
Don't worry. Something.
Just sign, and every month Suzuki will send us money, and you don't have to worry about it. We'll pay the difference." Well, as they say, good things never last forever.
Right.
Yeah, so.
And if it's too good to be true, it probably is.
Well.
That good thing never happened.
No. And it was never going to happen.
We hear these stories all the time where all these people are shady and they're trying to pull these underhanded schemes over people. And if it's exactly what David and Tammy have preached before, read everything before you sign it and ask questions, and don't just take somebody's word for it. You've got to have it in writing.
Well, the writing needs to match the words.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If those two don't match, guess what?
There's a problem.
It's no bueno.
Well, and I think the first the lesson that can come from this, the first thing is you're not making a deal with the guy sitting across from you.
Right.
He's a finance manager, he's a sales manager, he's a salesman. You're not making a deal with him. You're making a deal with a lender, a bank. And they believe everything that's on the contract is going to happen because that's why they write a contract. So you have to be really careful with people don't worry about. First of all, worry about everything.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, one of the things that happens in our business, in the leasing business, hey, don't worry, we'll get you out early. Well, guess what? There's no way you can know that. Maybe you can, maybe you can't. But you've got a plan on being in that car for the term of the contract at that payment, no matter what. And if somebody's told you, don't worry, we'll get you out early, you need to run.
Now, wait a minute. I do want to say this. We trade people out early all the time. But at the same time, you have to know, here's your commitment for the lease, three mm-hmm. years, 4 years, 5 years, 42 months, whatever you choose. And based upon the current market conditions and the way things are going, in the car that you choose, there are some cars that hold their value better than others, you will most likely be able to trade out early. However, should something happen and you get into an accident and do a pretty good amount of damage to your car, even though it's repaired, it diminishes the value of the car, and then you have kind of that dirty Carfax, you know, that dirty Carfax report.
Dirty car. Nobody wants a dirty car.
It's like a dirty
you say that? Yeah, you know, dirty Carfax.
But then the next person that's buying a car, you know, if they have two cars, one's been wrecked, one hasn't,
mm-hmm.
they want the one that hasn't been wrecked. You just have
absolutely
more confidence about it. So that will affect the value of the car, too.
It will. So I, when you're sitting down to sign paperwork with anyone on any contract, but certainly a car contract, whether it be a lease or a purchase, number one, and this is crazy, read the contract. Because if you don't, there can be gotchas. When we have different lenders come to us and want to do business with us, they have something called a dealer agreement, and we are required to sign that.
Mm-hmm.
If you do not read every line of that, you can find out
gotchas.
That there can be terrible things that can happen to you as a company And of course, it won't hurt them. They're the lender. It's going to be written. So you have to read every line. And as a consumer, you should read every line of every contract and understand that it is a contract. And no matter what that guy across the desk is telling you, the only thing that matters is what is written on that paper.
Yes, I always read everything. Because sometimes you might go back and the guy across the desk isn't there anymore.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen quite as often at our place because it's such a great place to work.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there since 95. We have several people have been there longer than I have and mm-hmm. a few more a little bit shorter than I have. And then we get new people in, but then once they come, they want to stay. First of all, because our clients keep returning. Since we can do all make and model mm-hmm. of cars and we do pre-owned cars, we can pretty much fill whatever need you have. And so I find that our clients tell me, I don't want to start over with somebody else.
Right.
No, I think,
you already know who I am. You know what I need. You have all my information on file.
It worked great the last time.
Yep.
Well, and people hate to deal with strangers on a new car.
Yeah.
So if you can come back and deal with the same person again, the continuity that you know who they are, mm-hmm. they know who you are. You didn't tell them anything that wasn't right, so they come back. So we have a lot of return customers because we don't tell people that they can get a car for $99 a month for life. Anyway, these gentlemen are facing 20 years in prison on each count, and there's three counts,
aww.
And up to $250,000 fine on each count.
Woo.
That's $750,000. And all of this also goes back to a stair-step bonus program that Suzuki had, and what that means is the more Suzukis they sold, we talked about this on last week's show, the more money that they got back from the manufacturer. So they falsified a lot of sales, showing they deserved more money, and they got a lot more money, but eventually they got caught. The other thing is, evidently the Suzuki rep was part of the conspiracy because he's been indicted also.
Mm.
So it's really sort of not the good way to go, I guess.
Right. It sounds like the three higher-ups are the ones who really got busted for it, though. None of the sales guys.
Well, no, they got some sales guys, sales managers.
Okay.
Yeah, they did, because there was a lot of people that knew what they were doing wasn't accurate.
But mm-hmm. the people that you can really hold accountable are the people that run the place.
Yeah, they're the ones telling you to do it.
All right, you have one person on your side.
Well, clearly, because they obviously stopped making black Ford trucks when they weren't painted black. I'm just saying there was a qualifier there.
All right, we got to take a quick break, but we'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
AutoFlex Lease, oh yeah. We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Good morning to you. Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing. David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Waddle, and me, Sybil. Our phone number here is 877-881-1053. If you've got a question, now's a good time for you to call. Maybe you're thinking about a couple different cars and you need some expert advice. Or, as always, you can AutoFlex Leasing fan text us at 43733. And you can call AutoFlex. What are those phone numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234. What a great day to call AutoFlex. Go out, look at some cars, and get a new car.
That's right. You know
yeah.
what? You know what's good about this for car-looking weather is test driving. If you have a moonroof or sunroof, is there a difference in a moonroof and a sunroof?
Yes, actually there is.
Okay, what is it? Because I've always called it a sunroof, but my car says moonroof.
Well, and a sunroof, you can't see through. If you go back to the 70s when they first started putting roofs in cars that uh-huh. opened and closed, the metal, the roof itself was part of the roof. It was metal. And you couldn't see through it. That's a sunroof. It blocks the sun.
Okay.
A moonroof, you can see through. It's glass. So all the cars now really have moonroofs. I haven't seen a car with a sunroof in a zillion years.
Right.
But that's the difference.
Oh, good to know. So if you want to go test drive one, though, this is great weather to roll down all the windows and take it out on the highway. I love this kind of driving weather.
Yep. We had a gentleman in last night driving cars. He drove a couple of cars, liked them, but had one more he wanted to drive. So our folks right now are going out and getting him the third car he wants to drive. And he'll be by this morning to make a really good decision after having driven all three cars.
Nice. And he saved time doing it all in one spot.
Well, and to drive the other car, it's not a problem. We go get it. We have it there for him. He drives it. And then he makes it, like I say, he picks the one he really, really likes. Drives them side by side, gets to see what fits, what doesn't, that kind of thing.
Right. Got some AutoFlex Leasing fan texts here at 43733. This is a question we get pretty frequently. Is it possible to lease if I have less than stellar credit?
You know, it is to a certain extent. It's according to how less than stellar it is. You still have to have better credit to lease than you do to buy. Mm-hmm. We have buying programs where you can buy no matter really what your credit bureau is, and that's through our AutoFlex 2 program. On the leasing side, you pretty well got to be 640, 660 and above to be able to lease a car right now.
So under 600 is might be a little tricky.
It would be, but what we could do, though, is set someone up in a really, really nice finance that they could make payments on while their credit score is improving, and then they can trade that car in and get a lease.
You know, early in my career at AutoFlex, back in the 90s when I started, mid-90s, wow, it's been a ride. I remember some clients coming in, and they had filed bankruptcy recently, and we were able to get them financed on a car. And then within, you know, about 12 to 18 months, their credit had improved enough that they could trade out of that one. I could do a lease for them, lower their payment, save some money. And we kept going and going while their credit score got up in the high 700s. You know, they recovered.
Mm-hmm.
And they became kind of lifelong clients, doing one car after another, eventually buying a car for their son, who then went off to college. And I expect one day when he gets back from college, he'll be calling me up for that, you know, fabulous new car.
Yeah.
But we do work with people through all of that. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing, because we did develop AutoFlex 2. If you have had some problems like that, I suggest you get started there, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then you can move over into the lease program if you want to. Or you might always be a buyer of cars.
Right.
You know, not everybody should be leasing. It depends on what you're trying to accomplish financially, how often you want to trade, what you want to spend, et cetera. So if you're not sure if you should lease, some people say, I've always bought, I don't know about leasing, but they get into this routine of buying their car, either coming close to paying it off or paying it off and then trading it in.
Yep.
So essentially you're doing a long-term lease, in my opinion, but paying the purchase payment and setting yourself up for the full exposure to all liability of losing money on your asset, you know, that really isn't an asset because it's never increasing in value. It's always going down in value. So buy what appreciates, like real estate, hopefully, not California.
Sorry.
Long time. But, you know, buy what goes up in value and rent or lease what goes down in value, especially if you're going to be turning it over on any kind of regular basis,
mm-hmm.
like 3 to 5 years. Okay. If you'll keep it 7 to 10 years, buy it all day long. Of course, that makes sense.
Right.
Okay.
And if you don't know what works for you, you can always call AutoFlex, 817 or 972-234-1234. They'll be glad to crunch the numbers and work it all out for you to find out what suits your needs. Let's talk about the Ford Fusion.
Well, there's a lot of really, really cool cars coming out in the next 2 years, the 13 and the 14 models. And the Fusion is one that Ford has really sort of staked their future on, because you have to have a really strong mid-size car in the market to be successful overall, or to be maybe number one in the world. So the Ford Fusion is their moneymaker, and they're putting their money on the Fusion. So what they're doing is they've made a great-looking car, if anybody's seen the pictures of it, and it's got tons and tons of really, really cool equipment. But it's going to compete against the Toyota Camry, the Honda Accord, the Malibu, the Sonata, the Kia Optima. So it's going to have to be really, really, again, a great car. They're going to have 3 engine options for the car, a gasoline, electric, hybrid, and a plug-in hybrid. They're saying that their EPA rating is going to be 47 miles per gallon in city and highway. Mm-hmm. That'll be sort of interesting,
yeah,
especially
we'll
with the price of gas the way it's gone.
So it's a new body style from the 2012 then?
Yeah, big time.
I had just Googled it. I love the way this looks.
Yeah, it's a great looking car.
Yeah, it's real sleek, like a Beamer.
Exactly. You know, here's the thing. Auto manufacturers have always known that people buy looks, and they do. Styling sells cars. That's why when the new Camaro came out, it was such a big hit. The retro Ford Mustang, again, a big hit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this car will be a big hit for Ford. There's a lot of really cool stuff coming out, though. Like Buick's got something called the Encore, which is going to be sort of a rogue-sized SUV, a small SUV.
Mm-hmm.
They're sort of aiming at the empty nester housewife or the couple that doesn't have kids, so you don't need a lot of room, but you still like the convenience of the SUV. And again, it's going to be packed with really cool equipment. So Buick is looking for this car to be their breakout car.
What would that be comparable to?
Well, a Nissan Rogue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's about the same size. And then Fiat's got a new SL coming out, an L, 500L.
It's going to be as small as the Rogue?
Yeah. Hmm. That's the cool thing about it.
Too small for me. Okay.
Is that like in the same realm as a CRV, a Honda CRV?
I was hoping it was going to be at least the size of a Murano.
Yeah, sort of a CRV size.
It's pie okay. size, so yeah, that makes sense. Okay, sorry.
Fiat's coming out with a Fiat L, which is a slightly bigger sedan. I don't know that that's going to help them a lot on that car.
Everybody's cracks me up.
A long Fiat. I think everybody that sells Fiats is hoping that Alfa Romeo, when they start bringing their cars over, that because that's the same manufacturer, that will help their sales. But Alfa Romeo has postponed their release of American cars. New Impala coming out in 2013. That's going to be a really, really big thing for General Motors. They've needed to restyle that car for a while. It's been out. It's gotten a little stale. So with the 2013 Impala, they're looking for some big, big improvements in styling and equipment. Lincoln with their MKZ, that's going to be sort of interesting because they're putting it on a Fusion platform. And historically, cars that share platforms with lower level cars have not been successful. I think the Cimarron is the first one.
Right, like a really, highline car sharing a platform with a low line.
With a low line car.
Doesn't succeed very well.
Not generally. You know, the Cimarron was basically a Chevrolet Nova that they had put leather in and mm-hmm. dressed up and put different fenders on, but everyone still knew it was a Nova and it still drove like a Nova.
Is that the same as like a Toyota Solara and as Toyota Camry? Do they share the same platform?
Well, they do. They do share the same platform, but they're the same level car.
Yeah,
it would be like if Lexus borrowed a Toyota platform, which they've done. Actually, if they borrowed a Toyota platform,
borrowing the Lexus platform, is
right,
kind
exactly
of more what they do. I think.
But it hasn't worked always, so we'll see how Lincoln does with that. One of the more important cars to come out in 2013, and I think we'll review this next week, is the new Honda Accord.
Mm-hmm.
Honda faced a lot of heat when they came out with the current model Accord over the interior and the design.
I thought it was the Civic they hated.
Well, it was, but
the
Accord too.
Accord either.
They
I
didn't
liked
love it.
I like it.
I don't like the seats in it. But anyway,
I do.
The Civic, they faded a lot of heat over because they felt like that they'd cut a lot of corners rather than bringing out a new car It didn't feel as cool on the inside. So Honda's really smart. They do a redesign on the Civic right away,
mm-hmm.
And they put new interiors in them, and they've dressed them up. And this new Accord is supposed to be the thing, the 2013. So we'll see. We'll review that car this next week.
And we will soon be reviewing, just to jump that one in too, the new Lexus ES model, and they have a hybrid that's supposed to get 40 miles to the gallon.
Which, interestingly, doesn't cost very much more than the regular Lexus does.
Right.
They're almost the same price. So
that
it's a good way to get a hybrid.
And they're doing a base model ES. Now, this is very strange to me. This has not been done by Lexus in the past. But they're going to have a base model that actually has, like, the pleather interior instead of leather.
Pleather.
Like the MB Tech. Well, you know, Mercedes had their MB Tech.
Yeah.
And BMW had their leather et. And so now Lexus is going to do a lower level trim interior too.
Gotcha.
Bizarre to me.
Okay. Nissan is going to reface their Sentra. They're coming up with some new looks there. That's a car that had really gotten stale. You know, their Altima, they upsized the Altima to make it a midsize sedan, and it sold really well. The other thing everyone has to remember is some of these cars sell really well because they're rent cars. And mm-hmm. that doesn't bode well for you buying the car.
For
so
resale value?
If you go to the airport and you can drive one, you probably want to pick a different car.
Because
they flood the market with them later.
But that hasn't
and it
really
hurts the
hurt
resale.
Camrys.
It hasn't, but Camrys is a little different. Camrys, the number one car seller in the United States for the last 14 to 15 years.
If you're not sure, call us and ask us.
Yeah, we'll tell you. Because Camrys are just going to resell. So Jeep Liberty, there's going to be a replacement that's based on a Fiat vehicle, and that's going to be sort of interesting. And
we'll just have to see about them.
Well, and they've kept that car under wraps. Nobody even knows what it looks like. So that's going to be interesting.
Secret.
It is a secret. Cadillac is coming out with a new small entry vehicle called an ATS. And they're aiming square at the BMW 3 and the Audi A4 with that car. And again, now Cadillac has made some huge strides in quality and service.
Mm-hmm.
serviceability. And so that'll be a really interesting car to see how they do with a small entry car. The last time they tried that, it didn't work well at all. One of our fan texters wrote in, when is Chevrolet, at the Autoflex Leasing Fan Text, thank you, mm-hmm. when is Chevrolet going to change their truck style? Well, it's going to be a 2014 Silverado. And they're going to have, it's going to be more efficient, it's going to be a new truck, and it's going to be on sale sometime during 2013, but they have not released the release date yet.
Nice.
They need to really compare to the F-150 since it's been a pretty good selling truck.
Well, and institutionally, the F-150 for business purposes, they're just fleets and fleets that buy mm-hmm. F-150s every time because of the reliability on that truck.
Also, cars to watch out for 2013, the Chevy Corvette.
Yeah, nobody knows what's going to happen there. They may build two Corvettes. They may build a Ferrari Corvette, which is going to be terribly expensive, but is going to be unbelievable, and a regular cool Corvette that's still affordable to the general public, or they may come out with something that's totally different. People are really, they're guessing of what the body's going to be made of. Are they going to stay in fiberglass? Are they going to move to aluminum? So it's interesting to see. Probably stay in fiberglass.
We had a fan texter, an Autoflex leasing fan texter. I work for a rental car company at the airport, and just about every brand and car is represented now.
Well, that's true to a certain extent, but it's not because they're not. I mean, they're just not. But there are a lot of rental cars. And the other thing is rental fleets. Yeah, the rental fleets sometimes they buy small numbers of certain cars
right.
because they're more popular and they can upgrade you to those. And that really doesn't have the effect that the massive, you know, when they're buying 200,000 units in a year or whatever for one kind of car that hurts the resale value.
And the last one on the list for car changes coming for 2013, the Mazda 6.
That's a big, big question mark because Mazda really needs help there. And their last 6 was a good car, but it's gotten old again and stale. People are used to it. So we'll see what they come up with, but they could use the help.
All right, we got to take a quick break, but we'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Autoflex Lease, oh yeah.
We're back to this Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing, where sometimes we do the Gangnam Style dance during the breaks, Tammy. I'm impressed, though. You're a good dancer.
Thanks a lot.
She really got up on it.
Yes, she did. So if you want to give us a call, the number here, 877-881-1053, or you can Autoflex Leasing fan text us at 43733.
Or if you want us to put our show online, let us know, and you can see Tammy dancing like the Korean guy.
Yeah.
Like Psy.
Like Psy.
I did it in the elevator on the way up here, too. There's a mirror, so you can watch yourself.
Yep, it's catchy, I'm telling you. You can also call Autoflex. David, what are those numbers?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234. If you're out of the area, and of course, Autoflex.com, the easiest way to find out all of the great cars we have for sale, apply for a lease online, arrange for a test drive, get a free Black Book appraisal on your truck, or get stock quotes.
Yeah.
No, we don't do stock quotes.
Autoflex Leasing Fan Text 43733. Is Toyota going to bring their diesel engine to the U.S.?
Good question. Not right now. They've shown no intention of doing that. You know, they sell that diesel in Europe. They sell it actually all over the world except the U.S. Their U.S. vehicles that they're pushing to reach the CAFE requirements are mainly hybrids, and they are the most successful seller of hybrids in the market right now. So they've kept those diesels in Europe and have not said anything about bringing them in. So, and they're good vehicles. They're darn good vehicles. I had a 725 credit rating and got turned down by you guys. It's entirely possible. Your credit score is only one thing that causes you to get qualified or not. If you have a lot of credit card debt, there's a lot of banks that don't want to deal with you right now. If you have a short time in the bureau but a high score, that could be it. There's a number of reasons why you might not be able to get a lease with a high credit score. They look at debt ratio. They look at a lot of things. So I'm sorry. It's a problem, but it's the lender. It's not us. I mean, we'd love to lease you a car, but we can only do what the bank says they would do.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about the three-cylinder engine cars like the GMC is coming out? I don't know yet. They've had three-cylinder cars in Europe for years. I would think they have the technology down to be able to do that, and so we'll see. Whatever happened to the Pontiac GTO concept car? The same thing that happened to Pontiac. Thank you, Fantexter.
They went under, I guess.
Okay, I use my car for work, and I put roughly 30,000 to 40,000 miles a year on it. Is there a lease option for that type of annual mileage, and is it worth it? Yes and yes. Here's the situation. If you're putting that type of mileage on a car, it's going to have 90,000 to 120,000 miles on it in 3 years. Most people finance a car for 5 years, maybe even 6 years. The first 2 to 3 years, all they do is pay interest. So the balance on the car stays high as you are depreciating the car very rapidly with that kind of miles. So you end up 3 years into the car with a car that is worth 25% of what it was when you got it, and you still owe 75% of what you owed on the car when you started. So you are terribly, terribly, as they say in the business, upside down.
Mm-hmm.
So what you do is you write a lease for those number of miles. It's going to be about the same as a finance payment. It's going to give you a better write-off if you have a business write-off, but you won't be upside down when you get ready to trade. The other thing is you keep the term short, because what you really want to do is you want to live with the depreciation that you're putting on the car, and you want to pay for that depreciation as you use the car, not let it stack up on you so you can't trade later and it bites you. Wherever you get bit, you know how that works. All right.
One more Autoflex Leasing fan texter. Is the new 4Runner ever getting a V8?
I don't see that. Everything's moving towards smaller engines. Again, the CAFE requirements that we've got now are 54.5 miles per gallon by 2025. You're not going to see a lot of bigger engines. What you're going to see is smaller engines that are turbocharged, like Ford has done with their EcoBoost, that give you the power when you need it, but the efficiency the rest of the time. So you're going to see a lot of that.
They had a V8 in the past.
They did. Yeah. You're going to see a lot more of that, and we're going to talk about the electrification of cars and what that really cost here in a few minutes, but I really don't see that as the future. In fact, we can go ahead and get into the story now. There was a meeting of automotive engineers from all over the world that recommended natural gas as the next fuel. They say that the United States currently has enough natural gas reserves to run on for the next 100 years, which is enough for us to worry about, and that natural gas vehicles have been used successfully all over the world and in the United States commercially for many, many years. It's a lot less expensive than gasoline, and we've got our own reserves. We don't need anyone else. The electrification of cars, on the other hand, costs $1 zillion. In fact, they figure we're going to lose, I'm going to have to look for that figure in a minute, but we're going to lose $1.5 billion, I guess, the government is, just over...
That's you and me.
The government's part of trying to get everyone to buy electric cars. You know, every time someone buys an electric car, they get a tax credit of $7,500. Well, that comes out of our pockets. So I'm not sure.
Taxpayers' pockets.
Exactly. I'm not sure why we would subsidize a product that people won't buy unless you give them $7,500.
Right. Yes. Please get out.
Well, and the other thing is the average person that buys an electric car makes more than $100,000 a year.
They don't need a tax credit.
No, but we have to give them tax credits or they can't buy them. The other thing is there are a lot of government agencies that buy hybrids that get tax credits because
I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
They're spending a lot of money is what they're doing. But anyway, I don't think you're going to see V8s in much of anything. And I think you will see a lot more of the hybrid technology, and you're going to see a lot more of turbo technology because the turbos work really, really well.
Mm-hmm. All right, we got to take a quick break, but we'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. David Blessingame, Tammy Pickard, Waddle, me, Sybil. Our phone number to the studio is 877-881-1053. Our Autoflex Leasing fan text is 43733. And the numbers to Autoflex are
either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234 out of the area. And as always, autoflex.com on the World Wide Web.
Oh, yeah. Let's head out to Fort Worth and check in with Wesley. Good morning, Wesley. You're on with David, Tammy, and Sybil.
Good morning, guys. How are y'all?
Good.
Great. Fabulous.
Great. My bigger question is, I know I'm going to purchase one car, and I'm considering the option of purchasing two cars at the same time.
Oh.
I have a truck that I own outright that I'm going to trade in, and that's because it's become a commuter vehicle, and I need a better commuter vehicle. And then my wife, we're purchasing I have a 2005 Nissan Maxima that's almost, it's at 95,000 miles. And I figure the best value for it is to trade it in before I have 100,000 miles on it. But I still have a payoff amount on there. And I'm right about being equal or floating with that vehicle if I were to trade it in.
Okay. Well, I think you're doing the right thing pretty well all the way around. Trading in the truck, because it doesn't get you the kind of mileage you've got. I mean, people really, and you have, need to consider what it costs to operate what you're driving. If you're driving a truck and using its commuter vehicle, the payment may be the least of your worries. So I think that's smart. On the Maxima, it's got 95,000 miles. How much longer you got to pay on it?
Just over 2 years.
Yeah, it's a good, reliable. Do you have a warranty on it right now, an extended warranty?
Up to 100,000 miles.
Well, you're about out on that then.
Correct.
Yeah.
I say you can trade both vehicles in for two different ones, and you can spread what you owe on the Nissan out over the two vehicles. We have done that for clients when they were, say they were upside down underwater on one vehicle and owed several thousand dollars more than it was worth. But then when we discover that the other car in their family either has positive equity or that they're break-even, if you trade both in and then spread that negative over the other two loans, then it's a little bit more palatable. And,
well, and
you're
the
not
other
trying
thing,
to over-advance with a lender on one of the loans.
And the other thing is you're going to pick up a fresh warranty when you do that.
Mm-hmm. Brand-new tires, brand-new warranty.
And the other thing is you're going to get a vehicle that's going to be more fuel-efficient, probably by 10, 15 miles per gallon, which is going to turn into real money savings over the next 3 or 4 years.
Some of the
It is. You wouldn't think the Maxima would turn over like that. But, yeah, the efficiency of it, it's a great vehicle. But even on the highway, at best, I'm able to squeeze 27 or 28 when you have the family and the luggage and stuff out of it.
Yeah, and that is on the highway at best. I would guess you're probably hitting around 17 to 19 regular driving around town, huh?
Yes, sir, you're correct.
Yeah, so that's another big consideration people need to think of. I mean, gas has gone up to almost $4 a gallon again.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, the Maxima likes premium on the highway.
That's yes.
In the city, it does. I've tried both regular and premium, and it doesn't make much of a difference in the city, but when I get on the highway, I fill up with premium because it does make a difference. I'm able to go from that, you know, squeezing 25, 26 to getting 27 to 28 out of it.
Yeah.
You know, I drive very efficiently. I try my best to.
That's smart, too. That is another thing to consider when you are trying to save money on fuel. Don't drive, you know, no jackrabbit starts and all that craziness. Try to drive as efficiently as possible, just like you're doing. But I think trade both for a couple of different vehicles that are going to get you better fuel economy, spread that money out over both deals, and that should save you a lot, right?
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, the other thing about the Maxima is it's a good car, but again, it's going to cost you some money in service pretty quickly. And every time it goes into the shop and it costs you $1,200, that's like making three lease payments.
Or four.
Yeah.
Well, that's my other question. I've never leased a vehicle before. I've always just owned them outright or purchased them outright. And the question would be leasing, of course, versus purchasing one. But if I were to purchase one or do it, is it better to do two separate loans?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. One for each car. And
the lease buy thing is, you know, you can either lease a new one or buy a pre-owned. But I would not buy a new one. I never suggest that anyone buy a new car because first year depreciation is so high.
And depending upon what you need for your family and the miles that you drive, we may suggest, if you were calling one of our offices, one might be a lease and one might be a purchase that would be better for you. We always encourage our clients, let us kind of review your whole situation and see where we can save you some money.
Well, that being the case, I got an offer on my truck. It wasn't what I wanted, so I'm doing a little bit of work on it, hoping to spend a couple extra $100 will benefit at the end.
Yeah.
Benefit, you know, to there, but I will I'll give your office a call here in a few minutes and see, you know, that's
great.
A cool story.
Do that, but I also tell people, don't go spend a whole bunch of money on a car before you're going to trade it in, simply because a dealer, unless you're going to sell it on your own, you know, to another consumer, that's different. You want to fix it up and present it well. If you're trading it in, a dealer can usually get those things fixed a little cheaper than you can, but definitely clean it up.
Yeah, always clean up your car before you go to
sell it. Clean some things out of
it
and get it, you know, shined up the best you can and make it look great and make it look like you've really been taking great care of it.
Yeah, a good wax job and black on the tires and cleaning the wheels up makes a big difference in perception of the value of the car.
Yes, sir. I've got a unique, my truck's, I'm not saying unique, but it's got a better value. It's got 172,000 miles. It's a big diesel truck.
Oh, there you go. That won't hurt it at all.
Well,
with the lift. And so I think I'm going to get a better value for it if I sell it outright.
You absolutely will.
Yep. Yeah. Clean it up, make it beautiful, and post it on eBay.
I hadn't thought of eBay. I don't know about selling the vehicles on eBay. I know some of the forums and stuff, people that I know that have trucks like mine, and that's where I'm going to kind of push it towards, I guess, a niche market, I guess.
Absolutely, and that's really the way to maximize your return on that, Wes.
Well, the only reason I mentioned eBay is it will reach more people. My car was sold to somebody in Michigan because we put it on eBay, and I got top dollar for it.
Yeah, I guess if I do eBay, the only way I would truly trust it to do it would be if I had a reserve that was high enough.
Right.
You know, that's your safety net, I guess.
Right.
Absolutely. Well, good luck, buddy.
Thank you, Wes.
Give us a call in Arlington, and we'll be glad to help.
Thank you for your help, guys. Have a great show.
Thank you, Wes.
Bye. 817-234-1234, by the way, is the number for Autoflex in Arlington.
Autoflex Leasing Fan Text. What vehicle should I look at in the coming year if I'm driving 100 miles a day?
Something pre-owned.
Yes.
To save some money right off the bat. You want somebody else to take the depreciation hit.
Absolutely. And get a car that's going to give you a really good resale value long-term, because you're going to mile that booger out. And the more reliable the car is, the better resale value you're going to have over time. You're going to have a car with a lot of miles on it no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
So,
like a Honda or a Toyota, maybe?
Maybe a Civic, maybe a Corolla. Something's going to get him a lot of good gas mileage. Maybe something even smaller than that. Again, resale needs
to be
a concern.
You need to be comfortable. I mean, it depends on your budget, but when you're driving 100 miles an hour, 100 miles an hour, airbags, 100 miles a day, you need some comfort, too. Mm-hmm. So something with some comfortable seats, something with ample room there. I'm still a fan of something the size of an Accord, a Camry, an Altima, if you're going to spend that much time in the car. Plus, you want all those safety features like the airbags and the ABS.
Now, there's another thing I got to mention. Right now, there is huge money back on just a whole bunch of cars. Everything from 7 Series BMWs to Honda Accords. There's Jaguar. They all have a lot of money back on them. Toyota has a lot of money back right now. At the end of the year, you can get some great, great bargains on a new car if you decide to lease one. The payments are so low, it's crazy. 100 miles a day, we'll have to write the lease for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you can also do a purchase. Either way.
Okay.
Here's one. I have a 2007 Tacoma, 85,000 miles. Please let us have that car, that truck. The question, should
truck.
I sell and buy a new one since great resale value? Absolutely, yes. Give us an opportunity. We'll give you all the money for that truck. We'll help you out with a new one. And we can even put you in a lease where you save money on your payment. Okay, so you can put that extra money in your pocket. And then we'll still take it off your hands at the end.
In an 07 with 85,000 miles, you're in there on the miles. Here's a great Autoflex Leasing fan text. 1965 Mustang or 1968 Camaro?
Both.
Yes. Yes.
I want both.
Yes, please. Before we wrap things up, David, I wanted to hear this story because I know we talked about it yesterday during Rage on our daily live spots, and you really teased me with it. So what happened with Chrysler?
Well, it's dangerous to work at a Chrysler assembly plant sometimes, I guess, because the plant in Detroit, Jefferson North plant, had a group meeting last week. They had a 6 a.m. meeting they called where they were going to discuss things that need to be improved and address employee questions. And at the end of the meeting, one of the Chrysler employees stabbed one of the other Chrysler employees.
Oh.
That's horrible. I hate that. It turned out it was a really bad deal. But here's the whole thing. It wasn't over quality. It wasn't over the cars. Guess what it was over?
A woman.
It was over a woman.
Mm.
So these two guys had worked together for 18 years. Not sure who the woman was. They didn't name it, but it did not end up well for either one. Let's just put it that way.
Yikes.
How about the Hyundai Elantra airbag probe after the severed ear claim?
Yeah, I don't know.
How many people have been injured by their car?
Well, and you talked about that earlier.
Well, you know, this person filed a claim because their ear was cut from the airbag. Well, they already had an accident.
Cut
first
off?
Of all.
No,
severed?
Cut, just half
severed.
Of it. Severed. Oh. Just half
the whole darn thing.
Top half.
Kind of a little Mike Tyson kind of a action.
But
what did I say? I'm sorry. So remember the Eagle Premiere, and there were some other cars that had those automatic seat belts that when you close the door and turn it on, they would the shoulder belt would go across there? Well, I was trying to take the key box when I was selling cars. I was trying to lift the key box off and at the same time multitasking, and that thing came off and tried to sever my finger.
Mm.
I almost had a claim.
Maybe that's why they don't make them anymore.
Well, you know, that's back when they built really junky cars, and they sold them with gimmicks. They had cars that talked to you. Mm. Your key
was in the early
90s. Your key is in the ignition.
That was like 1991.
Like, but I couldn't tell.
That was so high tech back then, though.
Yeah,
it was.
High-tech
enough to take your finger off.
If we did not get to your AutoFlex leasing fan text, please call AutoFlex. They are open today, 817 or 972-234-1234. They can answer all your questions. We'll be back here next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Thank you to Waddle for his hard work today. KNC Masterpiece coming up next. For David Blassingame and Tammy Pickard, I'm Sybil Summers. This has been the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Boomer!
Sooner!
Woohoo!
Wonder what it is I should do. It's so hard to keep this smile from